listening to Old New Borrowed Blue on 2SER with your host, Joel Kassam.
Hello and welcome to Old New Borrowed Blue here on 2SER 107.3 on 2SER.com and of course on iTunes. My name is Joel Kassam. Thank you so much for joining me today. So this is a show where I really get to do nothing except sit back and chat to a special guest about four songs of their choosing and find out more about them. It's a pretty sweet gig, really. Okay, let's find out who will be sitting opposite me this week. Conductor, composer, musical arranger, my guest today has done it all, and I mean done it all. I actually struggled to find things he hasn't done, with highlights including conducting the Sydney Symphony Orchestra at the opening ceremony of the Sydney Olympic Games and conducting concerts in Paris, London, Amsterdam, Brussels, New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Washington DC, Los Angeles, Athens, just to name a few. It's the man with the best hair in the biz, Mr. George Ellis. Hello, Big G.
Hello, Joel. You're making me tired. Have I done all those things? Have I? God. Okay.
That's something to be proud of, though. Don't get sleepy.
It is. It's just I remember all the work going into those things. It's all good fun, though.
And, of course, Big G is a name you've gone by before.
Yeah, that's a persona I put on when I do kids' shows. You know, they're all smaller than me, so, you know, they know me as the Big G, so, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, actually, we might get into that later. Mm. I wanted to start with your career highlights. I mean, I just read through just a few then. Mm. You know, doing the Sydney Symphony Orchestra for the opening ceremony of the Sydney Olympic Games. Mm. That must have been a massive deal. How did you get into that? What was that like?
That was an amazing experience. I almost didn't get the job. Somebody had called me about it anonymously, and I had this was back in the before the days of internet and keeping track of records digitally. I wrote her number down, I should say, on a piece of paper, and I then forgot where I placed that piece of paper, and I nearly missed the deadline of getting my application in. But anyway, I did get the application in like about midnight that night at 11:59. The applications were due at midnight. I got it in, got asked to go for an interview, got the job, had about 10 months rehearsal with the orchestra and the choir. I absolutely loved it. The 15th of September, I woke up on the 15th of September in 2000. And my partner at the time said to me, you know, this is the most amazing thing. This is what humanity is all about. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, North Korea and South Korea, for example, are marching together in the opening ceremony. I mean, given the current climate, can you believe that?
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I'm actually getting goosebumps thinking about that.
I remember those words, and they chilled me to the bone there in a comforting way. And still today, you know, North Korea and South Korea were marching together for the first time. I think that was amazing. Anyway, it was a windy day. It was cloudy. It was threatening to rain. The ceremony didn't start till 8 o'clock. Up until about 8 o'clock, it was blustery, and I didn't know whether how it would go. We started, and then the wind died down, which was great. And I remember being by the side of the stage there, just waiting to go on, and saying to myself, "Remember this moment forever, because this will be a career highlight." And because of that, I remember it forever, and it was a career highlight.
I mean, but it's not just a career highlight. Looking back, that was one of the biggest opening ceremonies to date. Mm. You know, everyone sort of looks back on Sydney as the big one, and let's try and be like Sydney. That must make you feel quite, you know, incredible.
It was a phenomenal experience. I mean, I don't really have the words other than superlatives. You know, I've just used a couple already. Interestingly, my wife at the time and I were thinking of renting our house out because we heard that you could make a lot of money during the Olympic Games. Then I got a job at the opening ceremony, so we said, okay, well, I'll do that, and then we'll go away and, you know, rent the house out. But then I got a job at the closing ceremony for which we had rehearsals during this. And I remember staying in Sydney because everybody said it was going to be a bottleneck, it was going to be gridlock, it was going to be horrible. Well, I think anybody that remembers those 3 weeks in September 2000 remembers that Sydney was an absolute absolutely brilliant time. There were lights on the Opera House sails, just like there is in Vivid now. There was no such thing as Vivid then. The streets were quiet. It was beautiful. The people that were there were celebrating. Yeah, everything you just said and more. It was a special experience. It was a great opening ceremony. I also got to work at the Athens Olympic Games in 2004, and I have Greek background, so that was amazing too. But nothing beats Sydney. No. Sydney was incredible.
Did you get to use the same orchestra in the opening closing ceremony as the opening?
Sydney Symphony again.
How big of a piece orchestra was it? How many?
90. 90 in the orchestra. Okay. Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's incredible. I don't know.
I'm lost for words too. It's really, as Paul McCartney says, really, believe it or not, I was once in the Beatles, you know. so I'm thinking, well, believe it or not, I conducted at the opening and closing ceremonies of the Sydney Olympic Games. I mean, can you believe it?
Do you remember the songs that were played?
I conducted the Olympic hymn in the opening ceremony, and a wonderful piece by a composer, Melbourne composer Chong Lim, his piece called Angels. And in the closing ceremony, I did the Australian National Anthem and the Greek National Anthem.
That's amazing. Sorry, that's just incredible. as I said before, you have this long list of highlights. This is as long as my arm, and I've got long arms, so it quite be... What are some other things that you look back on and think, wow, I can't believe I was a part of that?
Working with Lou Reed, the great Lou Reed, yes. Sydney Festival called me and said, the Sydney Festival management called me and said, George, do you know a children's choir and do you know some orchestral musicians that could accompany them? And I said, yes, I work for the Australian Youth Choir. They said, oh, we've tried the Australian Youth Choir, and they've said no. I said, I'll call you right back. I call the Australian Youth Choir, and I say, Tiffany, did the Sydney Festival call you? She said, yes. I said, did they ask if we could perform with Lou Reed? She said, yes. I said, what did you say? She said, oh, we can't do it because it's school holidays. I said, call them right back, please. We're doing it, even if we have to borrow some children from wherever they are in Queensland. And so we did it. Anyway, long story short, we performed with Lou Reed. We went to the first rehearsal. Lou Reed was late. I had rehearsed the choir and the orchestra. He was a little late. He comes on stage about an hour and a half later, and he's not happy. He sees his amplifier, and it's not the same amplifier he wanted from New York. He starts shouting at his technicians and his road crew, and he says, where's my amplifier? Anyway, he was heated up about that, and I was thinking, oh he's going to hear my orchestra, my choir. He's just going to blow his stack. We start rehearsing. They start singing and playing. He turns around to me as I'm conducting. He looks at me with his big thumbs up, and I said, and I breathed a sigh of relief.
Yeah, getting the thumbs up from Lou Reed is that would have to be up there.
It was absolutely one of my career highlights. And at the end of the concert, he called everybody into his dressing room and he said, you know, we're taking this to on tour to Europe. And I said, tell him we're available.
That's brilliant. All right, let's get into your first track now, your old song. What have you chosen for us today and why?
Carmina Burana by the German composer Karl Orff in 1936 is one of my favourite pieces of music. It's 25 movements. Everybody will know the opening movement. It's been used for beer commercials. It's been used for a lot of different television commercials. It's a very recognisable piece. It's very rhythmic. It's very strident and it's very out there. It's wonderful. The 21st movement is sung by a soprano with the orchestra. It's called Introttina, and it's about choices in life. Do you give yourself to what others want for you, or do you give in to what you want for you? And the reason I've chosen it is I've conducted this piece a couple of times, and one in particular time at Sydney University, the soprano Narelle Yeo, who's a director and a teacher at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music, she was singing the solo, and she was just singing it so beautifully. The strings with their mutes on were just playing this piece, gorgeous piece, so gorgeously. And just looking over at her as I was conducting and seeing the expression on her face, which perfectly exemplified this decision between... Basically, the song is, am I going to remain chaste, or am I going to make love with somebody that... I don't know if other people will frown upon or not. Anyway, she has this choice. But it's a beautiful melody, as we're about to hear, I think. And as she's singing this, and she's singing about she's singing so expressively about whether she should yield, the lyrics are, should I yield to the yoke, although it's in Latin, do I yield to the yoke of my feelings or what other people should do. So as she was singing that, tears just started pouring down my eyes. This is in Shortina.
That was a very lovely piece. Now, that was sung by Lucia Popp.
Lucia Popp, correct. That's right.
She's
from Germany.
Germany as well.
Yeah.
Just
a wonderful soprano. And if I could just talk a little bit about that piece.
Please.
The lyrics are Latin. Carmina Burana, which actually means Bavarian songs or songs from Bavaria, were originally written by monks in the 13th century secretly, away from the church, so because they were writing about drinking and gambling and sex. That song is about sex. But Karloff took these words in the 1930s, as I said, and wrote new music to all these words.
Is it poetry? was that a poem?
Mm.
Yeah,
yes.
So
yes.
The whole piece, 25
movements, but the 25th is the repeat of the first, so
okay.
24 really.
And they're all poems?
They're all poems.
Okay.
One is called Bibit, and Bibit means drinking, to drink. So they drink to everything, and it's Bibit this and Bibit that and Bibit this, and it's fantastic.
Story of my life. now, I wanted to ask how did you get started in conducting, and... Mm. How did you get to where you are today?
I was an undergraduate student at the Conservatorium of Music here in Sydney. I was doing a music education degree. I was really doing a music education degree was good because rather than focus on one instrument and be, you know, expert on that one instrument like all of my colleagues were or a lot of my colleagues were, music education degree gave me the scope to put music together, put different musicians together. So even though I was studying piano and guitar and cello, I was more interested in orchestras and choirs. And so I started composing. And instead of performing on an instrument for, you know, our classes, I started composing for my fellow students. And these compositions, when they were being performed, needed somebody at the front to conduct them. And so even though I was interested in composing only at first, I got therefore interested in conducting. So by the time I finished my undergraduate degree here in Sydney, I went to the United States, I went to the University of Colorado, and I did a postgraduate degree, a master's degree in conducting. And conducting became more, it overtook my interest in composing, though I love to compose and I still do, and I've done it for, you know, professionally for various projects. But I started working as a conductor, and I came back to Australia, and I entered competitions, ABC competitions, and got into finals and got noticed, and then sent my CVs around. Mostly were ignored, but a couple of picked up, and then I got to work with various professional orchestras. And now I've been working in the industry so long, 27 years now, that I have my own orchestra, my own orchestras. Last weekend I had two or three going on at once, you know, for different projects while assistants were taking them. So that's how I got into conducting. That's a very quick journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whirlwind.
Because as a musician myself, I look at conductors and I think, I have no idea how you do that. It, to me, it seems like it is the hardest thing to do. Do you find it that way? Did you find it harder than playing music or writing music?
You'll hear this a lot, interestingly, and not just with conducting. When I first started it, I thought it was easy. For some reason, I had very good teachers at the conservatorium and in the United States. And as I started, it somehow came natural to me. I don't know why or how. I'm not a dancer. I'm not a mover. I just somehow, I just loved doing it. I loved the music in me, and it was just coming out. But when I say you'll hear this a lot, what I mean by that is this, and that is the more I did it, the harder I found it got. And now I almost find it more difficult than when I first started, but even though I'm much more, I'd like to think, more adept at it. There's just so much to do. Yeah, it's hard. Rehearsals are hard, especially because you have to be doing two things at least. One is you have to be moving correctly and cueing and right beat patterns and dynamics, and I could go on about that. The other thing is you're always stopping and correcting.
Yeah.
You're having to identify. You're hearing, you know, out of four French horns or, you know, 10 cellos, you're hearing one note that's wrong, and where's that come from? So your brain is, my brain anyway, is on overdrive trying to do all that while you're actually moving correctly. So I find rehearsals even harder than performances. By the time the performance comes, if you've rehearsed well, and that's where you get really, I get really tired rehearsing. If you've rehearsed well, that you can relax at the performance and just let it go and just enjoy. But yeah, it's hard, but I love it. I don't know how else to say it. It's hard.
It's hard. you mentioned just then you have, well, at least the George Ellis Orchestra. Mm. You have your own orchestra.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had my own orchestra, I would have them follow me around the streets. Just as I do day-to-day things, they can just play music. They can wake me up in the morning, some sort of alarm. I don't know. How did that come about?
But I have to pay them. I mean, I'd love them around all the time. I mean, you know, Wagner, when his son was born, Siegfried, I should say, he surprised, I think this is the right story, he surprised his wife by having an orchestra. He composed a piece for their son. It was called Siegfried Idyll. And he got his orchestra, or some musicians, to set up downstairs and to play in the morning. And when she woke up, as she was coming down the stairs, the orchestra were playing the Siegfried Idyll just for her. Now, I haven't done that
yet.
But I haven't done that yet. But yeah, no, I love my orchestra. The orchestras that I have are the most amazing musicians, I think, in Australia. I mean, I just had one of the Sydney Symphony Orchestra players lead the orchestra for our performance of City Recital Hall for the performance of Peter and the Wolf. Brilliant. Now I'd work with them every day if I could afford it, but you know, they all cost.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's like, who needs an iPhone when you need an iPod when you've got an orchestra. Let's get into your second track.
Sure.
This is your new track.
Mm.
What have you got for us?
Now, this is a funny one. This is Uptown Funk by Bruno Mars. And you wouldn't think a conductor would like Bruno Mars. And interestingly, it's not the kind of music I like. And there are other great new songs that I like. And I particularly like, less funky, if you like, but equally wonderful, I think, songs by, say, people like Megan Washington and Josh Pike. I'm of that kind, Paul yep. Kelly, that kind of stuff. And that's wonderful, but it's not so cool. I have a lovely young girlfriend, and she's a stage performer. Bridget is a fantastic performer. She's a singer, she's an actor, and she's a dancer. She's a great dancer, and she has dancing lessons in order to, get, professional development and get even better as she goes through her career. And so she loves, as I said before, dancing, and I can't. So I secretly contacted her dance teacher and said, I wonder if I could come and see you. She said, sure, what for? I said, I don't want Bridget to know, but I'd like some dance lessons so that when we go out dancing on a Saturday night, I don't look so stupid. And so the reason I've picked Bruno Mars is Penny, the wonderful dance teacher, has been teaching me the steps, or some steps that she's made up to, free dancing really, to Uptown Funk by Bruno Mars. And I've just really gotten into the song, a song that I would never normally like.
And have you gone out and danced now for Bridget?
Not yet. I need some more lessons.
Okay. Is she going to hear this and think?
I don't know. I'll tell her about it, I guess.
Oh, she's going to know now. Bridget, this one's for you. Uptown Funk.
This is that ice cold Michelle, fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman, I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am, I'm too hot. And my band bout that money, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Uptown funk you up.
uptown funk you up. I said uptown funk you up, uptown funk you up, uptown funk you up, uptown funk you up. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you sexed and flown it, if you freaked and own it, don't brag about it, come show me. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you sexed and flown it.
Very funky Bruno Mars there. Woo-hoo! Uptown funk.
I was practicing, well, I wasn't, but in my head I was practicing my dance.
Yeah, I should have asked. Learning. Yeah. You could have danced for me. That would have been fantastic. Obviously, this is radio and no one can see it. Yeah. I can see it. It's great for me. Okay. What does George Ellis do when he's not composing and conducting? What do you like to do?
I am an absolute beach fanatic. I swim year round. I go to the beach. I'd go to the beach every day if I could.
Yeah.
Cold, cloudy, windy, rainy, but preferably sunny. Beach. I swim. I run on sand. I try and keep fit. I'm not young, so I try and keep fit. My job needs me to be fit, so I try and do that. Love the coastline. Any time I go away, it's usually a beach, if it's not the mountains. I love to read. Don't get much time to read because I've got so much work on, but love to do that. I love to go to movies. Bridget and I like to go out for dinner. Yeah. But mainly beach.
Soon to start dancing as well.
Yes.
I also wanted to ask you about, there's a portrait of you, or there was a portrait of you hanging in the New South Wales Art Gallery.
Yeah.
Now, unlike me, who once snuck in and put a photo up of myself, yours is actually there for a reason.
A person by the name of Evert Plauw, an Australian-Dutch composer, called me out of the blue. He said, "You don't know me, but I'm painting a portrait of somebody you know." And I was talking to her and I said, "I'd like to find a subject for Archibald portrait competition, but I want to find somebody that uses their hands for a living." The person that knew me said to Evert, "I don't know if this is any good to you, but I know my friend is going out with a conductor." He said, "Yes, that'd be great. Somebody that uses their arms, their hands." So he got my number. He called me and he said, "Can I come out and meet with you? Can I come and see you work?" So at the time, I was conducting a musical at the Theatre Royal. We were doing Stunglepot and Cutter Pie out there. He came into the pit, and he sat there for 3 hours while I conducted and just sketched me. So he said, "Can you come over to my place? And I'd like to paint you for the Archibald. Are you up for that?" I said, "Okay, sure." I said, doesn't have to be somebody famous. And he said, "No." I said, "Okay, I'm in." He said, "It just has to be somebody that's, you know, either prominent in their field or, you know, has done some things that people know about." I said, "Sure, no problems." He said, "Bring your tails." So I went out to his place and with my conducting tails, and he painted me. I went to his place about 2 weeks later, and my jaw dropped to the ground when he opened the door, and it was this big reveal. It was like the size, a big painting. It wasn't small. It was like the size of a wall, virtually. Well, not quite a wall, but half at least. And so he entered it into the Archibald. Didn't win the competition, but it won People's Choice in 2007. Eventually it was bought, yes.
Someone bought it.
It's actually bought privately, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm, how amazing is that? That's incredible. I'd love to think that, you know, you took it home and you just got to keep your own this giant portrait of yourself.
He actually offered it. He said, "Look, I'll sell it, but I'd like you to have first dibs at it if you like, because, you know, it's your the subject. Yeah. If you'd like it, it's yours. And I said, well, how much is it? He told me. I said, I can't afford that. And then it won People's Choice, and he said, it just went up $20,000 or so. And I said, okay, thanks very much. I hope the owner enjoys it.
I'll just take a photo of it, thank you.
Hey, the interesting story is my cousin once sent me a photo. He was looking through real estate, and in this unit, it showed, you know how it shows, you know, furniture and the walls, etc. Well, there's my portrait, the Archibald portrait. The person who had bought it was selling their house, and my portrait's on the wall of that photo. Very, very funny.
So, okay, at the beginning there, I said you're a composer and a conductor and a musical arranger. Now you're part of realestate.com.
by default.
Incredible. Let's go on to your borrowed song now. What do you have for us today?
Okay, in 2005, I was going through a marriage breakup, and I just remember the emotionally harrowing experience, of course, of going through the separation. And I was driving, and I remember being very, very, very tired, emotionally drained, but physically I had a lot of work on. I was trying to sort out my relationship, my emotional affairs, etc. And I remember having my children in the back, who were quite young at the time, and they were surprisingly quiet for a change in the back seat. And this song came on that I hadn't heard. And it was back announced as Landslide, performed by the Dixie Chicks. I then found out I'm a huge Fleetwood Mac song. I'm a huge Fleetwood Mac fan. And so I'm surprised I didn't know this song, Landslide, but was by Stevie Nicks. Stevie Nicks is a fantastic songwriter, performer, singer. But I hadn't heard her version somehow. I knew all the other hits by Fleetwood Mac, but not Landslide. But here was this version being on the being played on the radio by the Dixie Chicks, their version of Landslide. And it was a beautiful version. So they borrowed it, obviously, or they covered it by Stevie Nicks. And I happened, because I heard it first, happened to think, and this is sacrilege for Stevie Nicks fans, I think it's better than the Stevie Nicks version. It's one of the few times I think that cover version is better than the original, though I love the original. So this cover version is just beautiful and slow. It's got banjo. I'm not a huge fan of banjo, but in this song it fits, I think. They have, towards the end of the song, this is where it particularly hit me, they do these harmonies that aren't in the original, because it's obviously there's three of the Dixie Chicks, and they do these harmonies that move in such a way, and I could explain it harmonically to you, but I would bore you. But they do this thing with their harmonies. It's called oblique motion, and it just really soothed my, and I'm being melodramatic, but it soothed my tired emotional self at the time.
Is love, can the child
Dixie Chicks there, nailing those harmonies on Landslide. A cover by Fleetwood Mac.
Yes.
Now, you were just saying off air, there is a bit of a funny story to
this. Yeah, well, the thing is that Stevie Nicks wrote it about her breakup with her then partner at the time, and also in Fleetwood Mac, Lindsay Buckingham, the lead guitarist and singer. And so when they broke up, Stevie Nicks said, "I wrote a beautiful, tender love song like Landslide," and Lindsay Buckingham wrote, "You Can Go Your Own Way," nice, angry song.
That's just, I guess, who's more bitter in that relationship? You know?
I think they're friends now.
Oh, that's good. Let's talk about Big G. I mentioned that earlier. And also, I see you've been working with ex-Red Wiggle Murray Cook.
Yeah.
What have you guys been up to?
Murray Cook, you know, I've known about him, obviously, since the Wiggles. My kids were little when they were very popular and still are, of course. And I was watching the show Spicks and Specks, and I saw Murray Cook on the panel as a Red Wiggle. I'm thinking, he's a children's entertainer. Well, what this guy didn't know about popular music and all sorts of music, I just really, I was impressed. He knew a lot of stuff that, you know, I didn't know even. And with the advent of Facebook, I looked him up. We have some common friends. We've got a good friend in John Kennedy, who's also a performer, and Murray performs with John. I messaged him and I said, you know, I'd love to work with you sometime. You know, I'll try and think of some things. And he said, sure, I'd love to do that. Well, I do children's concerts. Well, concerts with professional orchestras for children, audiences. And I thought, well, I'll program things like Carnival of the Animals and Peter and the Wolf, and I'll need a good narrator, somebody who knows children and somebody who knows music, somebody who's a celebrity. And of course, Murray fit all those bills. So I contacted him. He said, yes, I'd love to do that. And just last Sunday, just recently, we performed Peter and the Wolf at Cedar Recital Hall, and he was a brilliant narrator for that. So, yeah, I love working with the ex-Red Wiggle. And, you know, I'm always conscious, should I publicise him and promote him as the Red Wiggle, or should I stay away from that? And I kind of do stay away from it, but he comes on stage and says, "I used to be the I used to be the Red Wiggle." So I didn't have to fear about that.
That's great. You've also worked with Aussie band The Church.
Yeah.
Their record, A Psychedelic Symphony.
Yeah. That
includes you.
Ah, I love
that. How was collaborating with The Church?
I got an email from a person by the name of Tim Poles, who turned out to be the drummer of The Church. I didn't know that at the time. They'd been through a couple of different drummers in their 35-year career now. And he said, "Would you like to work with The Church?" And I emailed back. I said, "Would I like to work with The Church? You mean Steve Kilby, the lead singer?" And they said, "Of course, yes, yes." And so I got together with them. They said, "We're doing a concert at the Opera House to celebrate our 30th anniversary. We'd like you to put an orchestra together for it and arrange our songs." So we got the set list together. I could go on about that process, but it was a long process, but it was a good process. And we got the concert together, and a Psychedelic Symphony was made. And I mean, this was a band that I first heard in year 11 that I absolutely loved from their very first album. And the concert was, you know, a huge success, sold out. They've made a CD and a DVD of it. And out of it, I've made very good friends with the band. And their lead singer and songwriter, Steve Kilby, and I we're very, very, very close. We go swimming regularly out at Coogee every week, actually.
That's amazing. Imagine, you know, admiring a band and then...
Yeah.
You know, getting to help perform at the Sydney Opera.
Songs like Under the Milky Way and Unguarded Moment, and their other brilliant songs. It was just a huge joy to orchestrate. So to perform, you know, we talked earlier about my highlights. That's one of my career highlights for certain.
Yeah. Mm. And the thing is, I'd actually heard, because I love Under the Milky Way, actually, and Unguarded Moment, The Church are a fantastic band. And I'd actually heard your version.
Right.
Didn't realize until, you know,
right,
getting ready for this show.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, well, there you go.
With orchestrating, without going getting into it too much, there is always a choice as to whether you remain faithful to the original or whether you change it completely. I remained completely faithful to Under the Milky Way, but changed Unguarded Moment completely, and the band thought both worked, so we went on that way.
That's brilliant, George. I'm going to have to end it here, and I really don't want to. I have so
I was
many
enjoying myself.
we can keep talking. I just have to play a song over the top. Thank you so much for joining me. It's obviously been a lot of fun. We've had
my
a
pleasure. Good yeah, laugh I've here. Loved it.
For anyone who will listen to me, I want them to go and check you out. Where can they find you next? What's
The next thing I'm doing in Sydney is the Roy Orbison orchestrated concerts. I've been doing I've been doing national tours for a couple of years now of a Beatles orchestrated concert where four guys that are exactly like the Beatles, Paul McCartney, etc. They're called the Beatle Boys. On stage with my 30-piece orchestra, we perform all their hits like A Day in the Life and Eleanor Rigby and beautiful songs like that with the same company, but different lead performer Dean Bourne is going to be Roy Orbison, and I'm in the middle of orchestrating for that concert right now, and that's on in Sydney not until August. Before then we're taking it around the country, so I'm not in Sydney again until August, but that's the next thing I'm doing. And then we're doing Beatles again at the Domain in October, and we're doing David Bowie with the Canberra Symphony Orchestra in September. So it's easy to look up people these days. Just look me up if you want to come to any of my concerts. I'd love to see you there.
They definitely should. Okay, your final track today, your blues song.
Okay, well, I'm a huge fan of The Police. I was in late high school when they came out. They had great songs like Message in a Bottle and Can't Stand Losing You and Roxanne. I loved those songs. So I went to see them live twice. So I became very big fan of them, and I liked Sting when he started his solo career after The Police broke up. Well, his first album was called Dream of the Blue Turtles. I went out and bought it straight away, and because I was one of the first to buy it, I was able to buy it on a blue vinyl. I still have that record. It's absolutely beautiful. I love the blueness of it. So hence blue. On that album, that first album called Dream of the Blue Turtles, is a song called Russians. And there are other great songs. And on his subsequent album, probably my favourite Sting song is a song called Fragile. But on the first album, the blue vinyl one, of the many great songs, one of them is Russians. And it's all about the Cold War. And the subject is quite, I guess, yucky. But the music is beautiful. And the reason I've picked it, to bring it back full circle to symphony orchestra, because I'm a conductor, as we said, he quotes directly. It's a direct quote. It's not a borrowing of it. He quotes directly Tchaikovsky, the romance theme from his Lieutenant Kijé suite. He uses it in Russians because, of course, Prokofiev is Russian. So he used it. It's a beautiful melody. And even though the vocal melody is a different one to the Tchaikovsky one, the orchestra or the band play the Tchaikovsky theme. So this is my blue. This is Russians from Dream of the Blue Turtles by Sting.
Thank you very much, George.
Monopoly of common sense. Are the signs? you are.